This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Steps up in the pocket, looks to tuck it and run. On his feet to the five and into the end zone. The Beast does it again.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Back to pass, has time, looks. Fires to the right corner to Mac Hollins, who pulls it in for the 7-yard touchdown reception.
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Quick hitter thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Josh Allen.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Victory Monday. Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Had somebody just write to me a moment ago, so I'm finally going to unleash this. Imagine wanting a dome. Imagine.
It's amazing.
Imagine wanting a dome.
Unbelievable.
And wanting just endless, soulless football. Imagine. I'll say this, though. Listen, when they win games like that, you want to puff out your chest and say, when it's too cold for them or it's too tough for them, it's just right for us, you do that. You win a game like that, you earn that. Going into a playoff game, I'm not going to tell you that I think that the weather's always benefiting the Bills. So I'm lining it up like this, Joe. I'm not a when it's too tough for them guy, but I am a stop whining about snow. The number of people that... Oh, my God, the offense is going to be just totally ruined by snow. Oh! Just relax. Relax for 5 seconds. We spend, the team spends week, days, the league spends days telling you how it's going to be a complete whiteout and a blizzard and it's horrible and everything. Oh, it's going to be 6-3. Relax. They can handle some snow. This team has consistently handled snow. There have been plenty of weather games at the stadium. Let's think about the times it mattered and hurt them. One, the Patriot game. They were still the better team. They were still better.
Yeah.
Two, what's the second one?
The Patriot game where they could throw, they just didn't realize it until the second half.
That's right. The perfect the perfect game was negative 12. Oh, the offense. Just stop freaking out, everybody, about, I wish we had a dome.
The Bengals playoff game.
Bengals playoff game. Was the problem the weather that day? Joe Burrow didn't have any trouble that day.
Mm-hmm.
Please. I'm not here to tell you it's an advantage all the time. But, man, the people that just – the team dome people that just live to panic about a game like that.
Yeah. Did you know I learned this yesterday, that Tom Brady's greatest statistical game of his career was in the game with the most snow in his home record or his home career? The game at Foxborough that had the most snow in Brady's career, they won 59-0. He had 380 yards and 6 touchdowns. The most snow he ever played in. So, I don't know. I don't think it affects it. I think the gap, to me, the whole point is, even if you want to say, okay, well, it is harder to throw in the snow than without it. Okay, but you're telling me that Brock Purdy, the gap between Josh Allen and Brock Purdy is somehow smaller last night?
Yeah, it doesn't look
great. You're telling
me
when if they play the Dolphins in a playoff game, that somehow the current gap in a perfect condition between Josh Allen and Tua is somehow smaller when it starts snowing? How does that add up?
Yeah.
They have the greatest athlete who's ever played quarterback as their quarterback. and his power is to get more neutered than the other guy, it makes no sense. Last night, he was able to do way more than Brock Purdy was able to do. Yep. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. It was night and day. Allen wasn't thrown for 300 yards in that game, but he absolutely was more effective than the other guy.
Could he have thrown for 300?
He might have been.
Maybe.
He might have been.
What did they have for yards per pass? 8? They just didn't throw it that much.
It was just under 9, yeah.
That's a good day.
That's a normal day. That's a normal Bills passing day.
Yeah.
And you know what it really looked like? I mean, take the weather out of it. Yesterday was the Miami game from earlier in the season. At Miami, there was no snow in that game, clearly. But Allen had almost the same stat line. Why? Because James Cook broke off a big run. You forced 3 turnovers. You were up for the entire second half. He didn't play the fourth quarter. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter. He played four plays. So it was kind of like the Miami game earlier in the year. Sure, he threw for 150 yards, and he ran one and whatever. But I don't know. Like, the snow, it had been a closer game, and the Niners been able to put up a fight. He would have cruised to 200 at least. It would have been a normal passing day.
Well, think about his skill set and how maybe he is, I mean, not quite weatherproof. Again, I'm not going to go all the way to, oh, sweet, it's a playoff game, and the Chargers are here. I hope there's 6 inches of snow on the field. That's not what
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
no, I'm not either.
I'm not doing that. But I'm not going to be afraid of it. Because what Allen, like you just laid it out, what Allen gives you, and this is true in the run game as well. We talked with Sal, and he said it was Taron Johnson. He talked about this with where defenders on the second level, foot in the ground, pursue the ball carrier. It was really difficult to do. So every time the Bills drop back, what do they get? They got defensive backs that couldn't stay with their receivers or tight ends.
Shakir converted that 4th-and-2 because the guy covering him slipped and fell. Yeah.
They got a pass rush that couldn't get off the line, so Allen would have more time, less likely to be quick pressure. They have a quarterback who is awesome at running all the time anyway, and now once he breaks into the second level, guess what? When somebody wants to try and drive on, you can't get there. He's going to pick up his yards. Like, I'm not going to tell you he's fully weatherproof. But any sort of, you laid it out, any conversation about how, well, it really brings these two closer together.
It makes no sense to
me. I'm not so sure it does.
It makes no sense to me.
I'm not so sure. The wind game, wind does more than anything. And it was definitely blustery, but the Bills have the perfect quarterback for conditions like that. And, you know, looking to the future and the rest of his career, how it's going to look, there are going to be more wind games. Well, maybe fewer in the new stadium. There are going to be snow games. So one fact we learned on our stadium tour, and I want to just get this out there and get some calls in on the win and on the 5th straight division title. So Thursday night of a week and a half ago, when the Browns and the Steelers played, there was a lot of snow in that game. We were talking with the Bills about this as we asked questions about the field in the new stadium. And we learned that the Browns field is heated and will melt the snow and drain it. And the reason there was snow on the field during that game between the Browns and the Steelers is because that was such a flaky, fluffy snow. It would sit on top of the blades of grass. And when a player would step on it, it would melt and go away. So that's how the field drains of snow. The new Bills Stadium, the field will not look like it did yesterday. One, significantly less snow will probably get to the field. And when it's melted and drained away, like, it'll just deal with snow better. So the stands will be less full. It's another thing. Like, the challenges of getting people to that stadium when it snows like that is emptying out all the seats of snow. In the future, in the new stadium, you'll have a significantly better system in place to do that. So the future, no dome, games like last night will be magical. And I'm, for one, am thrilled about it. Want no part of a dome. Yesterday is why romanticize it? Because it's a romantic time, baby. You're in love with this team, the way they play, the style they play. Who's going to come in and beat them in these circumstances? The Chiefs, maybe. The Chiefs beat them in regular weather. I'm supposed to believe that they're
Baltimore.
Baltimore, because they can run the ball. All right. Baltimore beat them on a perfect day.
Allen last night, by the way, 8.7 yards per pass attempt was his 4th highest of the year. He's played 12 games. That was the 4th best yards per pass game of this season. Remember the Jacksonville game where he was unstoppable?
Yeah.
That was third, 8.8. The Jacksonville game where all he did was throw and they lit him up, he had 8.8 yards per pass. Yesterday, he had 8.7.
That's what you find out. You find that crazy games like this, like sometimes you are just fine throwing the ball. And the Bills were. It's one of the reasons they won the game. It's how they scored at the end of the half, a big play to Dawson Knox. Couple nice completions to Shakir, to Cooper, touchdown pass to Mac Hollins, and of course a touchdown pass to Josh Allen, courtesy of Josh Allen, although he didn't get the catch. The catch goes to Cooper, the touchdown goes to Allen on the lateral play. It was a great day, and we're all, you know, remembering it, having fun with it. 803-0550 to join us. We'll connect with our fans. Dave in Florida. Hey, Dave, good morning.
How you doing, guys? Love all you guys at WGR. It drives me nuts. I can't listen to this broadcast, and I've tried everything, but I don't know. But listen, man, this team is different. I've been watching the Bills since 1970, and there's something about the chemistry on this team that's just different. There's no superstars other than Josh, and man, I'm feeling it. I don't know. I don't want to jinx it, but I was going to ask you guys when do you think the party would be after the Super Bowl? Because I'll be booking tickets to get up there because I got to be there for that if it happens.
Yeah.
There's something special about this team, guys. I don't know if we can stay healthy. Anything's possible.
Thanks, Dave. Allen is a big part of what's special. Do they have superstars? Give it a year. Christian Benford will be a guy named like that.
Is he now like the next name for almost everybody? Like, he's coming up more in this conversation a lot. I've seen him get some all-pro love recently.
Yeah, offensively, like, Shakir gets love, but he's not exactly superstar. Like, if you were to ask a random NFL fan, name Bills players, they would go with Josh first, and who's two? I don't know if it's Christian Benford.
They wouldn't yet.
It might be Von Miller. I don't know who. Matt Milano is an all-pro caliber linebacker. Terrell Bernard is great. I mean, they definitely have.
They might say Amari Cooper.
They might say Amari Cooper. Big
names. They have more than like superstars, though. They don't. The Bills right now just have a ton of good players.
Yeah,
a ton of really good players. Like, James Cook's a really good player. Is he a superstar? No.
No, you get that way by being a really good player for a long time.
Yeah, Terrell Bernard is a really good player. Would you consider him a superstar right now? Maybe he's someone that could get there. Taylor Rapp. Mina Kimes was tweeting about him last night. Like, super underrated season. Taylor Rapp's a really good player. Is he a superstar? No.
How many safeties or how many linebackers are considered superstars to begin with?
Well, right now, man.
Are there like three?
Yeah.
In the NFL? And how many quarterbacks
are?
Like,
but that's
15?
Part of the point. Like, how many guys do they have are top five at their position? They might not have more than like one or two. But do they have a dozen guys that are top 10 at their position or top 15 at their position? The better way to look at it is, how many starters would you say are bottom five at their position in the league? On the whole team? Any of them?
Yeah. No.
One guy? Is there one Bills starter that you would say is a bottom five player at his position in the league? You might not have a guy for that.
803-0550. Thanks, Dave, for the phone call. I don't think they're good because they have no superstars. That's part of the transition. And part of the conversation we had coming into the year was, it's about finding the next group of players we identify as the pieces of this team that make it what it is. I mean, Allen's a holdover. Deion Dawkins has been a holdover. A couple pieces defensively. But, you know, the next version of the Bills for the next 5 years, I mean, maybe Keon Coleman becomes a household name. Maybe not. Maybe it's Shakir. Maybe it's the receiver that they sign next offseason. Who knows? But, you know, chemistry, whatever you want. Wins. Their coach probably doesn't get enough credit as a superstar. And maybe should. Like, let's have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you check out, like, whoever, Joe Schmo, puts out NFL coach rankings.
Yeah.
McDermott is the most successful coach ever to relatively routinely get ranked like the 17th best head coach.
I saw
the 33rd team last year. Put him 24th.
Yeah, just like
behind Jonathan Gannon after like a year, or something.
It was a list so bad you just can't even really.
The coach never gets credit for being a superstar. And I would say a lot of the fans of this team probably don't do that. And doesn't he have a body of work to suggest that he might be?
He has everything, I think, except the Lombardi. That's it. And he has a giant gaffe in a playoff game that's going to make it hard for some to forgive him until that is corrected. But if you just break down what he currently is as a coach, he always has a top-level defense, right?
Like no, always.
Always has a top-level defense. So on that front, you trust him. He has allowed their passing game to exist again, right? Like the fears of them being this run-heavy team by neutral situations, like they are still pass-happy. Like, they're still top of the league. They're going to be the pass-happiest team that makes the playoffs, maybe. He goes for fourth downs. 28-3 yesterday, they go for it on fourth and two. In shotgun and through the football. So, he goes for fourth downs. He stinks at challenges. Okay.
A lot of coaches do.
Like, other than he hasn't won the big one, is late game management in a close game still, like, something that kind of sticks to him? Because for me, it doesn't. Like, I know there are moments, and a lot of coaches have moments, even this year. Like, you could go back to the Houston game if you want, earlier in the season, where we spent the next day, like, looking at who to blame because they threw the ball three times and lost it. But for every Houston game I got, oh, he went for it on fourth and two against the Chiefs to put the game away. You know, like, I think his late game situation game management is actually defendable. It might not be perfect, but it's defendable. So I don't have an area with McDermott right now where I look at it and go, that's bad. Like he's got to get better at blank. Like I think, again, like challenges, but it's so nitpicky. Like who cares?
803-0550. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like coaches that miss challenges. I mean, it's just part of the job. And then after they'll tell you it was a good challenge because you never know.
I mean, meanwhile, I got like Antonio Pierce on Fridays, like lining up the punt when he's down three with like 2 minutes to go. And I'm like, listen, McDermott, you know, might be called conservative sometimes, but I got guys like Antonio Pierce out here doing that. He's not even close.
He lined up to punt and then called it.
Yeah,
and
wait,
then called a timeout.
Right, he didn't
and
punt.
Then kicked a 58-yard field goal that didn't go through.
That's right.
And then got the ball back. And then when they really could have used that timeout, the center snapped it off the quarterback's face. Yeah.
That game was infuriating.
I mean, if there's one thing you want to talk about, like one thing about McDermott you could criticize, the use of defensive timeouts. They frequently use those for their defense, and, you know, sometimes that comes back to haunt you. But whatever. Like I said, like if we're having this conversation about superstars, not enough are naming him. Right after Josh Allen. Those are the two constants.
Should he rank above the guy across the field yesterday?
Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan has been to two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And
he does play in
four
the NFC.
Out of five NFC championship games.
He does play in the NFC.
Good for him.
He doesn't have to play the Chiefs
he does
the,
have
the Super Bowl.
A million players injured. You know who else has a bunch of players injured?
But see,
real quick. The Lions, I think I saw, have 18 players on IR.
On IR.
18.
That seems impossible.
They've had a lot of injuries. Their entire starting defense is basically hurt. Jim in Niagara County.
I'm looking at it now. They do.
Yeah. Hey,
wow.
Jim.
Wow.
Okay, my question is this. The way the playoffs will go today, I looked online and all, and it is to say that Buffalo's playing Denver as of today. And I'm wondering if they won and beat Denver, who do they get the second divisional round? Do you know?
They'd get
the higher of the two seeds, the two lower seeds.
The Chiefs get the lowest team to go through, and they get whoever's left.
Right.
Okay, so it's fair to say Buffalo, they might play like Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and the winner of that.
It depends.
Sure. Yeah, they could.
As long as the Bills, it depends. Yeah, the 3-6, whoever wins the 3-6 determines who you play. I mean, you get the highest remaining seed.
Okay, so Kansas City would not play Buffalo in the second divisional.
Correct. If the Kansas City's the one and the Bills are the two, they cannot play in the second round.
The way it's trending now is the Bills and Chiefs wouldn't meet in a playoff game until the AFC Championship.
Thank you very much, guys. Yep.
And you got to ask if the Chiefs would get there.
I don't think they will.
Right. I don't either. So
I right now would predict. I think I would want to predict they will not play the Chiefs in a playoff game this year.
Do you want to know what the New York Times playoff machine predicts for the round one bye?
So the one seed?
Yeah, one seed. Odds for the one seed.
I bet close to 50.
Last week it was Chiefs 47, Bills 44. What's it right now?
Could the Bills be favored?
51-45 Bills.
Wow. From behind, on New York Times, they basically are favoring the Bills.
Yes. Bills have one game remaining against a team over 500.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, of course, still play the Browns, the Broncos, the Browns, who are not your typical 3-8 team to me.
Yeah.
The Broncos, the Texans, who kind of stink, the Chargers, the Steelers.
Yeah.
That's four teams with a winning record and the Browns. And the way they play, I mean, they're eking things out against the Panthers and the Raiders.
Yeah. The Bills just can't have they haven't really had one this year, I don't think. They can't have a Denver game from last year. You know? Like, team they should beat and just and they should win and just something stupid happens. Last year against the Broncos, it was 12 men on the field. A game you should have won, and you let it be close late, and then you made a gaffe, and you're out, and you lose. Like, they New England twice with Drake May, like that those could be a game like that. They had that was the game to look at last year. New England in Foxborough. You let them drive down the field with Mac Jones late. Just what are you doing? How are you losing that football game? Just don't have one of those, and I feel like they're going to be the one seed.
And even if they're the two seed, if you think the Chiefs aren't that good, you know, round two's matchup. Let's do a playoff bracket right now. The playoff bracket right now has the four seed is Baltimore and
Houston.
Sorry, Houston. I'm sorry, yeah. The five is Baltimore. They go in and they beat Houston.
Yeah.
And the three is Pittsburgh. They win. Now it's the Ravens going to Kansas City and you're hosting Pittsburgh. And hey, do your job. You might be hosting. It's the same as the year that the Titans were the one. I mean, maybe it's not the same, but if you think the Chiefs. If you think the Chiefs are there to be knocked off, which they are.
I'm daydreaming about them getting knocked off by Denver in the first round, and the Bills play the Broncos in round two.
Yeah, they are getting healthier.
Who, the Chiefs?
Yeah.
They got the running back back.
And Hollywood Brown's supposed to come back soon, too. That could help.
We'll see. They cannot.
Their defense is
not as
good.
We'll talk about them later in the week. Their left tackle is a problem.
Oh, they've got
line
problems.
That dude is getting roasted.
Yep. Chris Brown, when we get back, it is Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Here's the handoff to Cook. Through a hole, and away, and into the secondary. 40, 30, 20, they're not going to get him. James Cook goes 65 yards for a touchdown. Unbelievable.
James Cook, his longest play of his career, touchdown run. He got to the second level a couple times, and that time could not be caught. Chris Brown had that call. And a bunch of calls from the Bills. Blowout win over the 49ers. He joins us on the Western Hotline as part of our Victory Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Chris, it was a big win, a fifth division title in a row. And I just keep wanting to use the term magical night. But we've got a lot of those lately. You know, this team wins a lot of games at home. Josh Allen gives us a lot of magical moments. It's a heck of a time to be a Bills fan.
Yeah, I know the Harbaughs have who has it better than us. I'll tweak it a little bit. Who has more fun than us, right? I mean, who did not have fun last night? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, throwing snow in the air, everything. Mr. Brightside even.
Start to finish.
The pregame ritual now, Doug Flutie, right, did it yesterday with the who's right here right now. Everything, right? Everything just seems to be, like, super fun.
It does, and, you know, now you just hope that the Chiefs can slip up here somewhere. Aiden O'Connell, what are you doing, buddy? come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have it won. You have it won, and you can't get the snap count right on the most important play of the game when you're in field goal range already. Are you kidding
me? The Bill, the Bills have magic right now, and the Chiefs have dark magic.
Yes.
What is happening at the moment?
Oh, I like that. Like that, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They keep finding ways to win. I don't know. The jig's got to be up at some point with them, right?
Yeah. Well, Chris, I mean, Josh Allen talked about it. He said the race for the one seed. And maybe, you know, I don't know if they had said that. Anybody had said that specifically before. You don't want to look ahead. The division is first. And they got the division. So now that's done. He mentioned the idea of playing free as they try to chase down Kansas City, who they've already beaten. And that gives something for this team to stay focused on as they play out the stretch.
Yeah, that's probably the most important thing, right? Some carrot to chase.
because when you've won the division, you've sewn up a playoff seed, and presumably at worst it's a two unless you falter here at the end of the season. Sometimes it is hard to come up with reasons to lay it all out there on the line, and that's a darn good one, especially with what they experienced last year and all the injured players that they had going from the wild card game into the divisional playoff against Kansas City. With one less game to play, it removes the injury risk in the postseason. So I know it sounds kind of counterintuitive because you're like, you're already in the playoffs. Why are you risking bodies? You're kind of risking it now to save the bodies later, so to speak.
And I wonder if, you know, you can't exactly plan to win games like you did yesterday all the time, winning by, you know, 25 points, but they might have a little urgency to try to kill off games in the third quarter when the opportunity is there, because they get a chance to get some of their starters out. But, you know, that's if everything goes right. This game here, Chris, you know, the story is jumbo package. The story is how they're able to run on the 49ers, in part because of the conditions, but also because the Joe Brady offense, they've built a different version of the Bills offense, and we've watched it come together over the course of a year and a half with Brady, and I feel like yesterday was another one of those they can win any way they need to games.
Yeah, they are a more versatile offense, not only because of the different things that they offer a defense, but because they're pretty darn good at all of those things as well. So no matter what needs to be dialed up, they can turn to that and be successful with it. You know, the conditions, I mean, let's think about the Brian Daboll offense of 2021. Do you think they're going to run 42 times or whatever it was for 220 yards? I don't know if they are, because I don't know if they trust their running game can be good enough to carry them to victory. They might still throw it 35 times in that game. It's a season high, 220 rushing yards last night. They used the sixth offensive lineman in their jumbo package with Alec Anderson. And look, they're not the only team in the league that does that, but they're the best. They use it more than anyone. It's about 15% of their snaps the last time I checked, a week or two ago. And they get more yards per play with six offensive linemen on the field than any other team in football. So they not only use it as a way to gain yards when they need to, they can ride it if they need to, as they did last night.
And it was also a game where they threw the ball pretty efficiently. They didn't throw it a lot, and you might credit the run game for that, right? Like, a lot of it was play action when there was a sixth lineman out there. It was quick stuff, but pretty impressive when the conditions were that they were. I know they only threw it 17 times, but to come away averaging over almost 9 yards an attempt is a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to give credit to my broadcast partner, Eric Wood, who noticed this immediately. You know, you go into a game with a script and all of this, and all of a sudden it's snowing when it's not supposed to be. And you could tell early on the Bills' script was to work from the shotgun, and that doesn't work when the field conditions are what they are, and you're not challenging the linebackers to react to your quarterback because he's in the shotgun and not under center. And very early in that game, Joe Brady made a switch, and he started running everything from under center after that, because that's what was required for the field conditions and the state of the game. And all of a sudden, the offense kicks into gear after that first three and out, and they never look back. And one thing that we should point out, guys, and I know you're aware of this, but it's 30 points per game in the last six games. I think is their margin of victory on this current winning streak is 15 points per game. And they've scored 30 points or more in 9 of their 12 games this season. That ties a team record already. They've got 5 games to play.
Yeah, right. And it's six. Maybe you said it's 6 in a row where they've scored 30 or more points.
Yeah,
which is incredible.
It's crazy. I mean, the crazy thing too, guys, is we've talked about this back and forth. Have they even played their best game yet? I mean, yesterday was pretty complete. It's a throttling. You know, you talk about Jacksonville all the way back in week 3, which seems like a year ago. You almost feel like this team still has more to give, which is ridiculous to say, but I don't know. Like, every week it's a different way in which they win, relying on different people. And I just think, like we've said before, this is the best team we have seen in the iterations of the Bills under Sean McDermott. It's a team that clearly loves one another,
And I think the play with Amari Cooper and Josh Allen is a testament to that. This is a player that got to the Bills 5 weeks ago. He's quiet as kept. He's a thinker. He doesn't react to much of anything. He is like stone-faced. I mean, he reminds me of Robert Parrish, the old center for the Celtics. This guy catches a ball behind his body, and he's a thinker, guys, not an improviser. And he trusts Josh Allen enough to lateral him a ball with three defenders around him in a snowstorm to go score a touchdown. That's complete insanity. And I probably sounded like that on the call, but that has no business happening with a player that just joined your team 5 weeks ago. But it speaks to how this team welcomes people in, loves them up, and then there's a trust factor and a dedication on the field that I think is different here than maybe anywhere else in the league.
Chris, we had a caller a little bit ago talk about, you know, not a lot of superstars other than Josh, and I think that'll come in time. You know, a team in transition has a lot of new pieces, and whether that becomes Taylor Rapp or Christian Benford or Keon Coleman or whatever. But I brought up the idea of maybe Sean McDermott starting to be viewed that way, because he does not really get a lot of that love in the coaching community yet, and maybe that's to come with a Super Bowl if he wins one, if he finds a way to get the Bills there. But, you know, for superstar status, the coach deserves an awful lot of credit for how this operation continues to run.
Yeah, it's the sixth straight season. They have 10 wins or more. That doesn't happen everywhere. And I think it's tied for the sixth longest streak in league history for a team to have 10 wins or more. In six consecutive seasons. So, I mean, we can run down the list of all the accomplishments. And the saddest thing about all of it is I think it's going to take a Super Bowl for the country to universally respect Sean McDermott for what he's done here. People that haven't been paying attention, that's the only thing. They haven't been paying enough attention to what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have built here, because it is a fantastic operation. And in every way, shape, and form, it has achieved to the highest order, with the exception of the Lombardi Trophy. So, unfortunately, in this era where I don't think great teams are respected unless they can point to trophies, that's probably what it's going to take. Because I think the biggest thing working against Sean McDermott is he's got a unicorn at quarterback. Ah, well, of course, Sean McDermott wins football games. He's got Josh Allen. You know, that's what people say. So, and look, it's not fair, because I think Sean McDermott would be a successful coach without Josh Allen to this degree. Hard to say. But if he had another franchise quarterback, he might be just as successful, because what's largely responsible for that is what he does to build a team. Again, I'll go back to team, the chemistry, the love, all of that stuff. That's him.
And he's doing snow angels now.
Right, while doing interviews.
Yeah,
he had a microphone in his hand.
Yeah, Chris Brown. Thanks, Chris. We'll chat on Friday ahead of the Ram game, and you know, follow this race to the one seed.
All right, enjoy the day, guys.
Yeah, you too. Victory Monday. Chris Brown's appearance brought to you here on Buffalo Bills Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women. I've got mean things to say about the Chiefs that I'm just like holding for whenever it's the right time. We got weeks for this. Mean things.
Mean Chiefs tweets.
I'm ready.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Saw the snow last night. Enter now WGR550.com. Chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Contest will end on January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
Rolls out to his right to avoid pressure, but Greg Rousseau gets him from behind with an ankle tackle for the sack.
Sometimes.
Why do you think statistically and the plays aren't, like the health is now there, but the numbers aren't what you'd expected?
There's 11 guys on the field, you know. Sometimes it's my fault, definitely multiple times today. And then sometimes the details aren't there on some other spots, too.
Aaron Rodgers, a couple things around the league. That slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Around the league brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for 100 years, over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Shop Dash's Market.
What a clown.
Around a league and a dash. He's right. I mean, Davante Adams had a bad drop in this game. Special teams were, well, interesting in this game.
But the dude is just incapable. Incapable of taking responsibility, even when it's not. Like, what's the thing every quarterback in the league does there?
I got to play better.
I got to play better. It's on me. And Rodgers, well, even when it's his fault, he won't tell you that.
There's a lot of guys on the field.
The pick six is his fault. He doesn't see the lineman dropping down.
Yep.
He doesn't look at it. And then Leonard Williams tips it, and runs it back. And then Rodgers decides not to even try to run down his own mistake. Maybe that's not offensive. He's like 200 pounds smaller than Leonard Williams, but...
What else from around the league yesterday? We have wide open phone calls next segment. You want to chime in on the Bills and the Niners. But around the league, the Bengals are a disaster. They should probably fire their coach.
You think they will?
I think there's a good chance.
I think there's a chance. I think there's definitely a chance they'll fire their coach. They might end the year with like 6 wins.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels looked great. Washington kind of back on track. Good bounce back for them. Russell Wilson had a huge day against the Bengals. Trevor Lawrence concussion on a dirty hit. That was not exactly a pretty game for Houston, but they got it done. Chargers beat Atlanta. Maybe they change to Michael Penix soon.
Yeah, they probably should do that, I think.
Think about it.
I mean, that division is...
Arizona kicked the field goal of death and lost.
Yep.
They got the ball back.
They deserved it.
That's right. Indianapolis went for 2 and the win and got it. See a lot of Shane Steichen getting credit for having a lot of guts there.
Yeah, Richardson big at the end. A game-tying touchdown. Well, it would have been a game-tying touchdown if they'd not gone for 2. And then he gets the 2-point conversion with a run.
Yep.
He had some big plays. Definitely some down plays, too, though.
His completion percentage was 50%.
Yeah.
He threw for 109 yards.
That's going to be him forever, though.
Yeah, well.
He's going to be, I am going to give you plays with my legs, and I'm going to give you 3 big plays down the field, and I'm going to be 50%.
Then you should not have that be your franchise quarterback. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good fantasy quarterback. You cannot win in the NFL.
I think that is
50% passing with some big plays occasionally.
What if it ends up yards per pass is the same as Patrick Mahomes, though? Because that's this year.
What's
the difference if the yards are there at the end of the day?
The difference is success rate. The difference is extending drives.
Success rate could be 10% if the 10% is 60-yard bombs down the field.
Won't win. Can't win. I'll keep them in fantasy.
I think they'll make the playoffs, by the way.
Sure.
But their schedule is so easy. So easy.
Look how hard it is to really win for the great quarterbacks. Lamar, Josh, Burrow. Really hard to win. I still think Richardson's sustainable for a team like that.
He also is only like 21.
True.
Still. He's very young.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. That's around the league. Back with more of your phone calls. Bills win big and win their 5th straight AFC East title. We're talking about it here on WGR.